Hey, Pittsburgh. There are some incredibly creative people around our city, and we're here to meet them, learn what they do, and how they create. I'm Alan Fear, and this is the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. This is the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. I'm Alan Fear, your host. And today we have a very special guest, Scott Kowalski. Did I pronounce that right, Scott?
You did. You got me.
Excellent. I'm trying. For our listeners who don't know a lot about you or your work, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm a visual artist in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I do mostly acrylic on canvas. I have been in Pittsburgh for about past 10 years. I've been an artist for 30-some-ish plus. I think the last 10 years, I've really been pushing hard to make it a full-time gig. And so that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
So before you were in Pittsburgh, where are you originally from, the area?
I'm originally from Altoona.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I've lived quite a few places around the world, and Pittsburgh kept kind of pulling me back. This is the third time I've been back here.
Oh, wow.
So I think it might be the final deal.
Home.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, you know, Pittsburgh's got a good vibe, and I've experienced a lot of other places, and it's a cool city. While not being a huge city, it's enough.
As we do more and more of these podcasts, you start to, you know, recognize not trends, but commonality between a lot of the people we talk to. Is there anything about the aesthetic of Pittsburgh, or even just like the, you know, I mean, you mentioned like the vibe. What are some things that draw you that way, just to the town itself or the city itself?
Well, I originally moved to Pittsburgh in 1990.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was real raw.
Yeah.
It was real raw back then. And I dig that rawness, because if you moved to, like, I lived in Seattle, and Seattle didn't have that vibe. It didn't have that. It was very much working towards a pristine city, whereas Pittsburgh seems to not work towards that. We have a rougher time, like, keeping it that way, whether it's the geography or whether it's just, you know, we've got ancient buildings here.
Yeah.
And I just really like it. Like, part of my thing is going out and exploring that rawness within Pittsburgh. Like, I'm going down an alley where the average person is just trying to drive on a boulevard, you know? And I actually do that quite a bit.
So do you find that, like, really affects your work at all, or, like...
I think it does. I mean, especially on specific pieces. Like, I do this reflection series that I do, and I when I first did it, I started doing it, I didn't understand what I was doing, and then it really started to, like, on some of the pieces, it started to, like, evolve into, like, this is my perception of the city. And I'm an abstract artist, so it's not an exact visual representation, but some of the vagueness that I put into it, it reflects my perception of the city. And there's chaos here. A lot of my pieces are, like, they juxtapose each other. Like, mm-hmm. one is really, like, chaotic, and the other one is very simplistic. I like a lot of minimalism.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people that are, like, base color with, like, mm-hmm. one swipe of white, one swipe of black, and done.
Right.
So, and I think that, I mean, internally, that there's a couple of things internally that I face with that, you know, with, like, the chaos of, like, you know, things that I can't control. And then I think the simplicity is where I'm going to look to control.
Right.
So.
Interesting. Now, do you find that your process is similar in a lot of your work? It sounds like, you know, there was kind of like a spark of an idea there, and then it kind of evolved into that, where you start to find that duality. Is that, like... is there a commonality among your work, like, in terms of your process that's pretty much the same, or do you kind of go at all angles? I mean,
my starts usually end up starting the same way. Like, a lot of the times, like, I either start with ideas where I'm like, oh, hey, this is kind of a cool idea, and then it evolves into my style, mm-hmm. or there's times where I'm like, I'm frustrated and I'll just throw a color on a canvas and then I'll just throw color at a canvas. And especially if I get frustrated with a piece, I'll deliberately like do something that either screws up the piece.
It's like destructive. In
yeah, destructive. Yeah. To then kind of like push me in a different direction or kind of be like, sometimes it works. Sometimes it's just like, psh, white.
Right.
Then I just whitewash it and start over. But yeah.
Trying to do something destructive, something completely creative can come out of it.
Yeah.
Do you find a lot of times like, you know, being at the, where you're trying to find the end of a piece, you know what I mean? Where you have that certain level of creativity where you get to the end and you're like, is this finished? Or is it ever finished? You know, and it's just simply a timestamp, you know?
Absolutely. No, it totally. That is the, especially with abstract art. And, yeah. and I think that there's a, if you talk to an abstract artist yeah. versus a very realist.
Yeah, like a photorealist.
Right. Yeah, or yeah, there's somebody that's just like, I'm painting this person.
Yeah.
I think that there comes with abstract art, it's more difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, well, a lot of my process is I'll get to like 90% where I think 90% is, and I'll put it on my wall. And if you go into my space, like my wall is covered with my work,
yeah.
unfinished pieces, finished pieces. And especially if I'm working on a piece, I'll put it in like the center where I'm walking from like my kitchen through my living room yeah. to my studio and back. And I do that and I'll know when it's done. It'll grab the corner of my eye and it'll actually tell me that it's done.
That's interesting because it's almost like having just that constant exposure to it. You know, walking from your kitchen kind of right, like yeah. helps like that, you know, again, like that timestamp of like, oh, okay, well, I've seen this. Yeah, it feels complete now.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And it's in a different mind state too. It's like I'm doing mundane stuff like right. doing dishes and mm-hmm. then I walk into my living room and I look at it, or I'm watching the show and it's on my wall and I deliberately do that. And I don't think that now that I've, you know, I think that I've evolved into the artist that I am today versus what I was 10 or 15 years ago. I do have that process in place, but it's yeah. definitely like a necessary part of it now.
Yeah. Do you have like daily habits that you kind of like go back to fall on to like kind of keep the creativity going, or are there things that you do to keep that interest, or go, oh, well, I have to work today. I got to get this done. You know,
there's a mix, too deep or not too deep or whatever. But like I've been personally struggling with creativity,
yeah.
but I still have to paint.
Right.
When people ask me like, well, what's the best practice to do it every day,
mm-hmm.
regardless, do it every day. And it doesn't necessarily have to be painting. It has to be, but creativity every day in some way, shape or form. Like I said, one of the things that I do is I go explore the city. I'm a big cyclist.
Yeah.
I'll go and I'll explore all the alleyways. I'll roll around down through downtown and like, there's a lot of people expressing some stuff, you know, in alleyways.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so I do my photography. I document a lot of, mm-hmm. especially street art. I have thousands of street art photographs, and one of these days I'm going to come out with a street art
book.
Coffee book. Yeah,
yeah. Right,
yeah. Yeah. I've just got to figure out how to do that. Like taking those pictures is not just walking up to a building and going, boom, it's how do you make an interesting picture out of that particular piece of street art?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's kind of like you're documenting, but at the same time, you're also creating something that's new because it's your perception of it.
Right. Right. Like I was rolling down through downtown and, There's a stop gate at the new PNC building.
Yeah.
And I rolled past it and I saw it and I'm like, that's cool. And there's two guys sitting there and like I go up and I scoot down and I take the picture and it turned out really neat.
Yeah.
And I look over and I'm just like, I keep myself out of trouble.
Right.
So, and just went on my way and that was great. And plus I had an interaction with those people, which was cool. You can't just drive around a car in a city. If you're trying to experience the city, you got to do it by foot or on a bicycle or something to really, in my opinion, experience it.
Yeah, it's hard to take in the details from a car window a lot.
Right. And that's part of my creativity. That's part of what feeds my creativity and my soul as far as that. So yeah. It keeps it going, even if I'm not painting mm-hmm. or even if I'm struggling with painting, and which I think all artists do. I think that, you know, I mean, you probably struggle with, even with drums. You're just like, I'm not feeling it, man. I'm just not, it's just not happening today.
Yeah.
And to not get frustrated. And that's hard to do sometimes.
Right.
It's really hard to do. Right. Or you haven't sold a piece.
Yeah.
In a bit, you know, and that's a whole other aspect of the, you know, the professional artist deal is like, you know, you're going down that road of like, okay, you still got to sell pieces. You got to do this. You got to do that.
How much of your creative process outside of commissions, because obviously that's like a unique situation,
yeah,
is really based on like, the commercial side of it, or the, you know, I need to at some point make a living, you know, like where's the line there? I'm sure it's not, line can be super gray too. I'm sure it's super blurry. It's at points.
Well, so, okay. So I joke about this. I think I say this a bit. It's like, I'm not in the business of storing artwork.
Right.
I'm in the business of selling artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a certain point where like, I have a rule that if a piece is over 3 years old, it's gone.
Oh.
Doesn't matter how much I like it. Doesn't matter how much I've tried to repeatedly sell it over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
In different avenues, whether that's at a gallery show, whether that's through social media, whether that's through just personally trying to sell it, it's gone.
Right. Do you ever feel like you're influenced to do something specifically because, like, I know this is gonna sell?
Where a lot of that comes from is other people.
Right.
You should do this.
Right.
You should do that. And I offend people. I was just called a curmudgeon the other night. And I love it. And I didn't even think about it. I am a curmudgeon sometimes because I'll tell people, I'm like, no, why would I want to do that?
Right.
And unless it's a commission, nine times out of 10, I'm not going to paint it. There have been a couple of my buddies like, man, you should paint a pirate's hat in your style.
Right, right.
And I painted a pirate's hat.
Yeah.
And a few of them sold. So I'm up to like, there's like maybe, I'm up to like five or six on that series, which I do series. And like, there's a couple in my series that I'm up to like 28, 29, 30, 30 pieces.
Deep on them, yeah.
Yeah. And I've stopped painting them because I've done it.
You've exhausted that.
I've exhausted. And I love it. And it's a great piece, but like, but just a, hey, Pittsburgh, most artists do not want to paint the Pittsburgh bridges.
Yeah.
Just a hey. Stop asking artists to paint the Pittsburgh bridges because there's more to Pittsburgh than to Pittsburgh bridges. I know they're iconic. I know that they're dramatic and all that jazz, but you know, stop.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a line too where it's like, you know, what you as an artist are trying to express versus, you know, the saturation that's there with it as well.
Right,
I mean,
because
you see them. You
know?
It is. It's almost sacrilege to say to a Pittsburgh, like, I'm not going to paint some bridges. Yeah, I could see how people would have like almost an emotional response. Like, how could you not do that? You know?
Well, but like they don't, I don't think that they realize how many times it gets asked.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
How much for you specifically, but I mean, for the art community in general, in your opinion, has that kind of like broken down some barriers to entry for some people?
Oh, huge.
And not even just barriers to entry for people wanting to create, but also people getting exposed.
Yeah.
Do you really feel that's like a big impact on your work at this point or?
Like my Instagram, I just surpassed 10,000 followers.
Congrats.
Thank you. That's actually a big deal. That's like the top 10% of Instagram.
Yeah.
Like everybody, you know, so I'm excited about that. So let's pick a gallery in Pittsburgh. Anyone, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's one gallery. And the average gallery either does a 3 month stint or does a 1 month stint as far as like showing people's work. So the reality of it is that only 12 artists get exposure within that 1 year.
Right.
And so Instagram has given everybody the ability to like, I've sold all over the world.
Right.
You know, it's kind of cool. It's fun. The ability to be exposed outside of your immediate region. But then there's the other side of that where you're just like, you know, you have FOMO.
Right.
You have, why does this person have 150,000 followers versus me? And so you kind of like, there's that emotional challenge that they keep talking about that the social medias are creating within right. people.
Yeah.
It can create insecurities within your art. It can mm-hmm. create insecurities.
I think you're probably the first person we've talked to actually that's kind of expressed some of that, like, yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to kind of face that and go like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you haven't sold a piece in a while.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
if you're just like, I don't understand. What do you mean? You there's mm-hmm. thousands of people that have looked at this. Why have yeah. they not gone and purchased a piece?
Right.
And again, it's a slippery slope because yeah, yeah. then you're sitting there going, and I know for a fact that it's like ebbs and flows.
Right.
And, you know, the economy has something to do with it right. and like all this other jazz. So...
So how do you cope with that? Like, what are what, I mean, I know that's a really big question.
There are days where you know, I have multiple eggs in baskets.
Yeah, yeah.
So I solely don't depend on art as mm-hmm. my full income.
So there's a financial component of that as well, yeah. in addition to just the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a part of my daily life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I do try to paint every day because yeah. I think it's important. If you want to become a professional artist,
yeah.
you can't not paint for months
right.
and then, or paint one painting every 2 or 3 months. Like I painted over 200 pieces last year.
Wow.
The other thing too is like, I also work on, I do for all that I don't think I'm an institutional artist.
Yeah.
I do try to nail those gigs and that's an even tighter.
Yeah.
Very small window of opportunity because there's a lot out there, but there's not a lot out there.
Right.
But I got an opportunity to do a piece that I'm excited about. It's yeah. it's going to be at the airport.
Oh, cool.
So three artists got the opportunity to paint a piano.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That hits home for me. So
nice. Well, there's going to be, we have all finished based on the communication this morning.
When do those go on? That's going to be on display at the airport? For
6 months.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
when does that start?
Hopefully by the end of August.
Oh, end of August.
Because they still have to come pick up the pianos. They have to tune the pianos because obviously we're, mm-hmm. you know, they've been moved around and
right,
stuff
right.
like that. So, but they're going to be, one's going to be in the baggage claim area. And then two of them are going to be on the terminal side where you can come up and play them.
Oh, wow. Like, that's what my next question
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah. You can come up and play them and stuff. And so my piano is pink.
Wow.
And yeah, I like to challenge with pink. Like I do quite a bit of pink art
uh-huh.
Because I don't think that, like I think it's, pink is not a gender.
Right. It's a color, yeah.
It's a color.
Yeah.
And so many people associate, you know, pink, yeah. and, pink and blue, light blue with, uh-huh. with genders and stuff. And I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
So this piano is like pretty bright pink yeah. with yellows and blues and it's crazy. And I put some gold leaf in it. And,
yeah, oh, cool.
So it's definitely, and it's, I didn't know this at the time, but the Barbie movie was coming out.
Oh,
I'm like,
wow, yeah.
This is a perfect Barbie piano.
There you go.
But it's my grandmother. Like my grandmother inspired me to like use pink because it was her favorite color right. and like it's one of those deals. So, but yeah. So it's exciting to paint a piano. I've never painted a piano. Like I've never painted an object like that.
In addition to the piano project,
yeah.
What are the things do you have going on right now? Do you have like specific either commissions or things that you're working on or like series that you're like really digging in deep on right now or
you know, like I said, I've been kind of struggling the past couple
yeah.
months.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like I just finished up a commission, mm-hmm. A bigger commission that just it was a private commission that yeah. somebody hired me to do. It's a retro 70s pattern.
Okay.
Which this is gonna come out after he gets it, so it's gonna be but like the challenge the shit out of me.
Wow.
Because it's not my style. It's not really not like my jam.
It's not your wheelhouse. Yeah,
it's not my wheelhouse. And so if it's outside your wheelhouse, it makes you work and it makes you think and it makes you, you know, push yourself.
Right.
Other than that, like, I mean, there's a couple of pieces I'm excited to start. I just finished one, or I just started one that's, that was inspired by an IKEA pillow.
That's all, well, it sounds like the creativity is on the uptick then, which is a good,
yeah,
great
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it. I, for some reason, every year I struggle in June.
Yeah.
June is just a rough month. I'm not a big fan of summer, so it kind of just like, it drags me down when the heat starts going. And I never, everybody else is like, yes!
Let's go party.
And I'm like, winter, where's it at? I want snow. Give me snow. Give me, so.
As far as following your work, and all the things that you're up to. Instagram, obviously the best place to
Instagram's definitely where I spend most of my time. Gotcha. Like, yeah, Facebook is starting to falter. You can find me at scottkowalski.com if you're like, I'm also like, I do YouTube. I do all of the social medias. Like,
gotcha.
Every piece that I do goes on like 7 or 8 different websites. And so I spend a good bit of time doing the social media marketing.
I have to say it was an absolute pleasure getting to talk to you today, and really, really look forward to seeing the piano. Maybe I get out to the airport, and maybe play a little bit. It'd be fun.
That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. I'll have to grab some pictures.
That would be cool.
But thank you so much for joining us in the studio today for the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. I'm Alan Fear, again with Scott Kowalski, and just thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Podcast is supported by the Pittsburgh Creators Project. You can learn more at www.pittsburghcreators.org. If you know a creator we should speak to, let us know by contacting us through our website. The podcast is produced and theme composed by Robert Traw. Thanks to Red Cayman Studios here in Pittsburgh. All episodes were recorded and edited at Red Cayman. I'm Alan Fear. And this is the Pittsburgh Creators Podcast. We'll see you next time.